Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Hallelujah. I hope you are ready to move forward in the word this morning. For God gave us a new day. He gave us a do-over. And all we can do is say, thank you, Lord, for the do-over. Thank you, Lord, for this brand new day. I am so thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning. And to have been waken up by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because we are one. Hallelujah. Thanking God for this mighty word this morning. As always, we are in the New Testament, Old Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. And when we do it that way, God gives us the entire Bible in a year. So that is our goal this year, is to read everything in context. The entire year. Say is, for those that were not with me yesterday that are mothers, happy belated Mother's Day. I pray you had a wonderful day. I surely did. My children just blessed me, and I am so grateful that God gave me the wonderful children that I have. You know, it does a mother's heart when your kids put a little note in it. I cried like a baby because the notes were beautiful and heartfelt, and it touched my heart. And all I could say was, thank you, God. Mother's Day, our church service was wonderful. My pastor preached Samuel, which I thought was pretty awesome. She preached the story of Hannah from Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and she preached that word. All I could say was, you got to go, Miss Pastor. That's Jesse, where she tore it up. And all I could say, I got all happy because that's where we're at. We're in 1 Samuel, and it was good. You know, when you have a good day, all you can do is smile. And then when you spend time with your children, all you can do is smile. So thank you, God, for the great day and for my own mother, who is a wonderful woman of God. And I was grateful to be able to talk with her on yesterday as well. So just feeling good this morning, ready to get started, ready to get in the Word. And let's pray. You know, prayer changes circumstances. Prayer changes everything that is going on in our life. When we give it to God, God takes care of it. God will make your enemy your footstool. God will knock some stuff out. God will have folks saying, I'm sorry, all your situations to God. And I'm speaking not to all of y'all, I'm speaking to me, to give it all to God. Because sometimes I know I have a real bad habit of giving it to God and then dibbling and dabbling and trying to take it back. And God has reprimanded me. Now listen. Daughter, didn't you give me that situation? And I'll say, yes, Lord, then why are you messing with it? And then I have to apologize and say, I'm sorry. And put my hands back in my pocket and leave God's business alone. So I say to you today, let God handle all your situations today. I had a cup one time, and all it said was, this is God, and I'll be handling all of your problems today. A very wonderful woman I know, was dying of cancer, and I would send her a card every Monday. And the Monday that she passed away, that was the card that God had put in my heart to send her. And I remember reading it at her funeral and how it touched my heart, because that is exactly what was going on. God was handling all her problems on that day, called her home. So I just say thanking God for his word, because God's word will take us where we need to go. So I hope this word blesses you this morning. I hope this word gives you something to think about, and I hope this word helps you put all your situations into the hands of God. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be your children. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to know that you are God and you are in control of everything. Lord God, we ask forgiveness if we have messed in your business. But Lord, when we give it to you, we ask you to take it, and we want to leave it alone. Give us guidance and give us strength to leave it alone. Lord, give us understanding and discernment to know your voice over the voice of the enemy who keeps us stumbling and falling. Lord God, we ask you to lift us up, dust us off, and show us the way that you would have us to go. Father God, as I ask every day, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For Father God, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. You are my Father. And I put my trust, I put my belief, I put my heart, soul, and mind, and spirit in your loving hands. And I know that I am covered under your mighty wings of glory. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to cover each and every person listening live. Give them strength. Give them perseverance. Give them everything they need. And let this word touch their hearts, minds, and spirits. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I lift up my Savior and say amen, giving honor to God, who truly is the source of my strength. And I refuse to let the enemy take my voice, because he plays around with it where I'll get hoarse and can hardly talk. But I know that I serve a mighty God, and I know that this is my assignment, and my daddy is not going to allow the enemy not to let me do it. So I rebuke and bind the spirit of hoarseness. I rebuke and bind the spirit of not being able to see or pronounce words accurately. I rebuke and denounce the enemy of this word, because I know my Father God is in charge. And it's in his name I'm lifting up the word this morning, believing in it, trusting in it, and knowing that it is good and it will touch someone's heart. Let's get started, y'all. Why do we do it? Because it is a great word. I can't help myself. I get all giddy for Jesus. I get giddy for the word of God, because it is. Let's start. We are in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 to chapter 23, verse 29. If you want to get some pages in your Bible already highlighted and ready to go. I am also in Psalms chapter 59, verses 6 through 17. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And guess what? We are starting a new book today. We are in John chapter 1. So let's get started, family. Let's get started in this absolutely awesome word of God. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And remember what David was doing. He had gone and he was with the priest. Amalek. And Amalek gave him showbread and fed his people. And understand, Saul was having a moment. And one of his people, an Edomite named Doeg, I believe is how it's pronounced. Doeg. I would say Doeg is how I would pronounce it. Doeg. But he was nasty. I'm just going to call him for what he was. He was one of those, I'll do anything you tell me to do. And I like keeping mess started, folks. He was evil. I'm just going to call him like he was. He was evil and an Edomite. And he's going to do some stuff that's going to make you mad as we go through the word this morning. And then it goes on to say, so David, he had to leave there because he understood that Saul was after him. And this is what I'm going to go back into yesterday's word, or Friday's word, where it talked about where they were and how he had gone through and he got the showbread and so how he left. And this is verse 12 of chapter 21, and it says this. Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretending madness in their hands, and scratched out the doors of the gate and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And this is as he's fleeing from Saul. He goes into Palestine. And understand that, you know, he does not want to be caught again. So, and then it goes on to tell us in this, it says, and David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servant of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another? So he's trying not to get killed by Saul and the Philistines. So now it says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Then David went from there to Mizpah and Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me. So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Now the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Depart and go to the land of Judah. So David departed and went into the forest of Herith. When Saul heard that David and the men who were with him had been discovered, now Saul was staying in Geba under a tamarind tree in Ramah with his spear in his hand and all his servants standing about him. Then Saul said to his servants who stood about him, hear now, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? All of you have conspired against me, and there is no one who reveals to me that my son has made a covenant with the son of Jesse. And there is not one of you who is sorry for me or reveals to me that my son has stirred up my servants against me to lie in wait as it is this day. Then answered Doeg. This is that nasty Edomite. The Edomite who was set over the servants of Saul said, I saw the son of Jesse going to Nob to Amalek, the son of Ethub, and he inquired of the Lord for him, give him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistines. So the king sent and called Amalek and all his father's house, the priests who were in Nob, and they all came to the king. And Saul said, hear now, son of Ittah. He answered, here I am, my lord. And Saul said to him, why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, in that you have given him bread and a sword and have inquired of God for him that he should rise against me to lie in wait as it is this day? So Amalek answered the king and said, "And who among all your servants is as faithful as David? Who is the son, king's son-in-law, who goes at your bidding and is honorable in your house?" Did I then begin to inquire God for him? Far be it from me. Let not the king impute anything to his servant or to any in the house of my father, for your servant knew nothing of all this, little or much. And the king said, "You shall surely die, Amalek, you and all your father's house." Then the king said to the guards who stood about him, "Turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not tell it to me when I lift a hand to strike the priest of the Lord." And the king said to Doeg, "You turn and kill the priest." So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck the priest and killed on that day 85 men who wore a linen ephod. Also note the city of the priest he struck with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and nursing infants, oxen and donkeys and sheep with the edge of the sword. Just evil. The devil always has a minion among God's people. We got to always be careful because they are smiling in your face. As the song says, smile in your face, and all the time they want to take your place, the backstabbers. And that's what this Edomite was, a backstabbing evil man who did not mind touching God's anointed. Let's keep reading. Verse 20 of chapter 22. Of 1 Samuel. Now one of the sons of Amalek, the son of Etah, named Abathar, fled after David. And Abathar told David that Saul had killed the Lord's priest. So David said to Abathar, "I knew that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, 'I have caused the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me, do not fear, for he who seeks my life seeks your life, but with me you shall be safe.'" Chapter 23 of 1 Samuel. Then they told David, saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the thrashing floors." Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord once again, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand." And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah, and it happened when Abathar, the son of Amalek, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with an ephod in his hand. And Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, "God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself in my inn by entering a town that has gates and bars." Then Saul called all the people together for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." Then David said, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then David said, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver you." So David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziphah. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hands. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziphah in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, "Do not fear, For the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Then the Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, David, is David not hiding with us in strongholds in the woods, in the hills of Helekah, which is on the south of Jesmon? Now, therefore, O king, come down according to all the desires of your soul. Come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. And Saul said, blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Please go and find out for sure and see the place where his hideout is and who has seen him there. For I am told he is very crafty. See, therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides and come back to me, and certainly, with certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall be, if he is in the land, that I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah. So they arose and went to Ziphah before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon on the south of Jesmon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David. Therefore he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Then Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. But a messenger came to Saul, saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Therefore Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called that place the Rock of Escape. And David went up from there and dwelt in strongholds and in Gadi. You know how awful it is to be pursued by someone that you never did any harm to, that you were there for when they needed someone to calm their weary soul, that you never once tried to do anything to hurt them, but yet they pursue you like you are a junkyard dog. Jealousy in his envy of David pursued him like it was nobody's business. Why? Only God knows. It made no sense. No sense. What was going on? Why he was doing to David what he was doing? It made no sense that he was chasing after this man like he was. No sense at all. And so he had to endure all of that foolishness of Saul chasing him and chasing after him. And the thing is, David loved Saul. He did. He cared about him. But it was all one-sided. This is what Dr. Stanley says in our life lesson for this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3. Please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me. While David had the anointing of God, he did not have a detailed map of his future. So he trusted God for what he could not do and acted wisely in regard to the things he could do. God never hides the fact that there may be a high price to pay for doing what is right. But he also promises to reward us for doing what is good. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, even if that reward comes in heaven. Sometimes what we want and what we desire is not for this earth. Sometimes all we desire is peace. And God will take us home. Give us just what we need. And I'm speaking this because I know I've seen it. I've seen God work where he has given peace in the midst of some heavy storms. Because God does not want us to be in pain. God does not want us hurting. He does not want us being pursued by the enemy like David was pursued by Saul. God wants us to have love in our heart, in our minds. God is not a God of mess. God is a God of order. And this is what Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8 says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And verse 9 says, and you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. But I like to go back, and we're going to read. This is that word that slave masters used to bastardize during slavery to keep slaves in order. But we know this is not what it meant. And it's a spiritual thing. And it says this, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as man pleases, but as bondservants doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Y'all caught that, right? Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. You know, what they forgot to look at was the fact is that you will reap what you sow. If you are evil and mean to those your bond servants, then the Lord God will have a place specially made just for you. God is not a God that looks at the outside. He is looking at your heart. Is your heart right with God? Because he could care less how beautiful you are, what complexion you are, whether you're black or white, whether you're Hispanic, whether you're Latino. He does not care if you're Asian specific. He doesn't care what you are. All he sees is your heart. We are the ones looking at the outside and forming prejudice that are not of God. Because God is not a bigot. That's not who he is. God is a God that loves each of us individually and collectively, because we are his children, because he created us. He's the one that knitted us in our mother's womb. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 21, and it says this, blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Needed people that would be there for him, because so many times, we are out here on our own with nobody there to give you a hand, nobody there to even give you a cup of water. But God puts people in place that will be there for you, that are willing to pray for you, that are willing to give you whatever you need, even if it's a place to stay. God knows exactly what he's doing. And this is what it says. Anyone can use religious verbiage and try to appear deeply spiritual by the phrases he uses, but God is not impressed, and neither should we be, nor should we be fooled. And this is what 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15 says, but as we do, we're going to go back a little bit and read Paul and the false apostles. Because, you know, Paul was chosen by Jesus on the road to Damascus. And his disciples and his apostles had to accept him because God had put him in place. And this is what it says, verse 5. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Because understand. Paul was a scholar. He was a Pharisee. But he didn't know, I call it, heavenly speak. You know, all the folks that love to get up and preach, and every time they see you, they got to go through a five-hour, you know, diabet of who they are. You know, I am this, that, da, 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 da. And God, all God wants you to say is, good morning. I'm blessed. That's it. Then it goes on to say, did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you too, didn't you? I robbed other churches taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was burdened to no one for what I liked the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I would keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Acacia. Why? Because I do not love you, God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing of his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their work. Y'all caught that, right? There's all kind of folks out there right now, prophesying, teaching, preaching, and just lying for personal gain, to throw folks off their square. They will take a word of God and make it out something totally different than what it is. Not because they love God, but because they are minions of the evil one. When I say this, I say it every day. I say it on Sunday. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Don't let somebody come at you and all they give you is this. Blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. And then they take that word and go for it. Because the compassion that they want you to have them is to give them more money. Preach a whole sermon totally out of context. We got to be careful who we set under and who we allow to speak into our ears. For the Lord God wants us to hear his word, but he wants it heard in context. That's why when I'll get a scripture from Dr. Stanley, I read the whole entire thing so we have it in context. And as we go forward in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 27, hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. During this time in Israel's history, the Philistines were the primary oppressors and enemies of God's people. But in his sovereignty, God used them to rescue his servant David. He can do the same for us. The Lord will move heaven and earth, if necessary, to show us his will. Keep God in whatever it is you're doing, knowing that he will make a way out of no way. He will guide you. He will lead you. He will take you where you need to go to do what you need to do for him. And we're going into our Psalms word this morning, and we're in Psalms chapter 59, verse 6 through 7. It says, At evening they return. They growl like a dog and go all around the city. Indeed, they belch with their mouth, swords are in their lips, for they say, who cares? But you, O Lord, shall laugh at them. You shall have all the nations in derision. I will wait for you, O you, his strength. For God is my defense. My God of mercy shall come to meet me. God shall let me see my desire on my enemies. Do not slay them, lest my people forget. Scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride. And for their cursing and lying which they speak, consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be. Them know that God rules in Jacob, in the end of the earth, to the ends of the earth, Selah. And at evening they return, they growl like a dog and go all around the city. They wander up and down for food and howl if they are not satisfied. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. When we're going through, We got to pull out the Psalm 59 word. Who is your strength? God is your strength. Who is your defense? God is your defense. Who has mercy on you? God does. Let those that are out there trying to hurt you, check them off. Because you know what? I tell you this. They don't even know who your daddy is, but they're going to find out. You know, we want to pray nice prayers, but there's sometimes that you got to pray to God, handle it, Father. Handle them that are trying to hurt me. Handle them that are trying to deceive me. Handle them that are doing dirt against me. I give them to you because I know you're going to take care of it. We got to give our enemies to God. And I tell you one thing, they're going to wish they had left you alone. I'm telling you, I can only speak what I know. Seen it happen. I've seen God work. When you have done nothing to anybody, you have only tried to be kind. You've only tried to do what's right. And I tell you something, God takes care of it. You shake the dust off your feet like Jesus told the disciples and keep it moving. Move forward. Don't let somebody put you in bondage. Because what did the word tell us? To you, O my strength, I will sing praises. But God is my defense, my God of mercy. Give it to God. And then I go back to verse 16. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my troubles. We got to know who we belong to. Psalm 59:16, Dr. Stanley says, I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. Many of us don't have good singing voices, so why should singing play such a prominent role in spiritual growth? The act of singing tends to unite emotions and intellect, and God wants to commune with every part of us. And as I've spoken before on this blog, there are times where I will be in my car and all of a sudden, a song that just comes in my heart of praise. A song of prayer comes in my heart. I know I'm praying, but it comes out in song because that's just what God gives me. I'm singing of his power. I'm singing of his, and I'm just singing with tears coming out of my eyes, just singing to God and realizing that it's all prayer. God wants us to pray. God wants us to walk. God wants us to be the best we can be. Don't allow somebody to knock you off your square this morning, family. Don't allow the enemy to get in your way. You need to tell him, you better leave me alone. For I know, you better know my daddy's going to get you. As little kids, we knew we could depend on our fathers. That if somebody tried to mess with you, you knew who to tell. My daddy will come and get you. You better leave me alone. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Thy kingdom come, his will be done. And sometimes God will give you trials to make you strong, not to break you, but to make you. Because iron sharpens iron. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16:1-2, the preparation of the heart belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. And our new word for this morning is coming out of John. We are in a new chapter. Yay! I love it when we get to a new chapter because it just shows that we are moving along in the word. And I'm going to share my new little book. As I told you, I have a new book that I love to use now. And it just kind of sums up a new chapter. And it's called Know Your Bible. It's all 66 books explained and applied. Know Your Bible. It's just a little book, not very long. I think it's like less than 100 pages. Yeah, 95 pages. And it goes from Genesis to Revelation. And this is what it says about John. It says, now, not stated, but traditionally attributed to John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, John 21:17, brother of James and son of Zebedee, dated around AD 90 as the last gospel written. in 10 words or less, we're going to describe the book of John. Jesus is God himself, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Savior of the world. So when we have to explain John, it's simply this. Jesus is God himself, the only Savior of the world. And here's some details. While the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke have many similarities, they're called the Synoptic Gospels, meaning that they take a common view. The book of John stands alone. The fourth gospel downplays Jesus' parable. None are recorded. And miracles, only seven are featured. Instead, John provides more extensive treatments of Jesus' reasons for coming to earth. I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly, John 10:10. His intimate relationship with God, the Father, I and my Father are one, John 10:30. And his own feelings toward the job he has come to do, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. John 17:1-2. John also gives special emphasis to Jesus' patient treatment of the disciples, Thomas, who doubted the resurrection, John 20:24-29, and Peter, who has denied the Lord, 21:15-23, and some quotables. You know, when we get to these words, these are some highlightables to keep in your arsenal. You have to fight the spiritual battles that you've come across. And the first one is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that is the title of our lesson today. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We learned that in children's church. We learned that in Sunday school. That's one of those scriptures that you first learn when you start going to church. John 3:16. And I love this word, John 6:35, I am the bread of life. In other words, you don't need anything but me. I am the bread of life, John 6:35. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep, John 10:11. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. And then this is a unique and unusual. Jesus' very first miracle. He charged is changing of water into wine at a wedding in Cana is recorded only in John's Gospel, John 2:1-12. So is his raising Lazarus from the dead, John 11:1-44. His healing of a man born blind, 9:1-38. And his long distance healing of a nobleman's son, John 4:46-54. John is also the only gospel to mention Nicodemus, who heard Jesus teaching that ye must be born again, John 3:7. So what? These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name, John 20:31. And that is John wrapped up to our word this morning. And it says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the and truth. John bore witness of him, cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received the grace, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Woo, I'm filled up. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Every time I read this Word, I think how good our Father is to send a part of himself, die for us. This face of Jesus Christ, that's who Moses saw. That's who spent time with Abraham. We got to understand that God is in charge, and he's always been there. He will always be there. He is with us. And this is some life lessons from Dr. Stanley, and I have a life example as well. And it says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right at the beginning of his gospel, John tells us that Jesus was far more than just a great teacher or a mighty prophet. In fact, he was God. Jesus is the express image of God's person. And we're going to go over real quick to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. We'll just start at verse 1. And it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And this is verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Can I say that again? He has appointed heir of all things, to whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the mighty majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And I'm going to read chapter verse 5 through verse 8. And it says this: for which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be him, and he shall be me, a son. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, stand by at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? And that is Hebrews chapter 1, which we will get to again. But that is to let you know who Jesus is.
He is the Son of God. He is God in person. He is the God whose face that people saw, because the face of God has never been seen, because the word says so, and I stand on the word. And this is what it says, important message from John, 1 John verses 1 through 18. It says, 400 years of silence. It had been so long since God had spoken through one of his prophets. The people of Israel wondered if he would ever speak again, or if he had forgotten the covenant he established with their forefathers, Abraham and David. As prolonged time of quiet, their ears strained in anticipation. They were hungry for a word. So God sent the word. Say it with me, the word. But this time, the word came as it had never come before. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word that had been with God in the creation of the world and all the life in it now came to the world to offer a new covenant and a new life. During the 400 years of silence, God had remedied the world for the word. Excuse me, God had readied the world for the word to travel through it under the influence of Alexander the Great. Greek, the language of science, medicine, and philosophy, made communicating the word much easier than it had ever been. Also, because of the roads and general peace, Pax Romana of the Roman Empire, missionaries could travel everywhere with less difficulty. God had to prepare the world for the word. God had to prepare roads. He had to prepare bridges. He had to prepare everything for the word to go forth. Make shipbuilding easier. God was doing some things. And it says, finally, there were many times more Jews scattered throughout the Roman Empire than there were in Israel proper, giving evangelistic synagogues and Jewish communities from which to preach the good news throughout the known world. It was in this global climate that God sent his word. What was his message? They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Through the word, all the families of the world were blessed in fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. Through the word, the throne of David was established forever, not merely in an earthly kingdom, but one that will reign forever. And through the word, God saved us. Friends, have you been waiting for a word from God? Have you been straining your ears because of the silence? Look to the word. Look to Jesus. Just as the time of silence was preparation for Christ's coming, God is readying his message to you in a manner that you cannot imagine. God is with you. He will save you from your sins. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are a child of God. What he is providing for you will not be accomplished through flesh, nor the will of man, but by the power of God. He always keeps his promises. Remember that God will move heaven and earth to show you his will. If he's silent now, it's because he wants you to realize that his next message is extremely important. So keep listening. You don't want to miss it. And that is our word for this morning. If there's anyone that would like to speak, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be opened. And the word again for the title for today is, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Thank you, Father God, for your word this morning. And a word for all of you from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Good morning. No matter how things look right now, know that God is still in control of our life. Stay in peace. and believe that he will always be with you in all situations. Have a motivated Monday. And as always, Sister Carolyn just comes in and just God just gives her what we need to wrap it all up. And as we all know, no matter how things look right now, David, being pursued by Saul, didn't know where he was going to eat or sleep, but still believed. And his goal was to stay in peace and believe that he will always be with you in all situations. Have a motivated Monday, family. That's all I got. It's time to get up. It's time to go to work. It's time to get busy for God. But he is in charge. And never forget that our Savior Jesus Christ is the Word. He is God made flesh. And one thing I can say is through his grace, we are saved. Through his blood, we are renewed. Through his power, we are protected. Thank you so much. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Keep trusting in God. Let him handle all your problems today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about anything. Let God handle everything. Thank you so much. I love you all. I appreciate you listening in. Please join me again on tomorrow, God willing, 7 a.m., as we move forward in the Word of God. And we will be in 1 Samuel chapter 24 through chapter 25, verse 44. If you want to read up, Psalm chapter 60, verses 1 through 5, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, and John chapter 1, verses 19 through 51. And again, always, is God willing, we'll be back together tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. Love you all. Be blessed. It's what? Time to go to work. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Thank you so much. Be blessed. It's a wrap, because we are always willing, ready, available, presently praying for each and every one of you. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap.